were sitting there and they were reading this, and this is what they said. Jesus was born on the first Christmas day, a gift from the Father. He planned it that way. And every dear person who hears and believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. All folks have sinned, have gone their own way, but God listens closely when we choose to pray and choose to love Jesus, who came down to earth to live and to die and to give us new birth. It makes me think of the passage of scripture from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. As John told the Christmas story at the beginning of his gospel, John tells it in a different way. Where Matthew, where Luke decide to talk about the birth of Jesus, the Magi coming, the shepherds and the angels, John says that the very creator of the earth has come to bring his children home. Almost as if he stands at the door and knocks, waiting for us to open the door and let him in. And what I was thinking about as I got ready for this week, thinking about what they were saying in the concert, I wonder if people know that he stands at the door and knocks. I wonder for our community, the ones who don't yet know Jesus, they probably know the name Jesus. They probably know that we claim he's the Son of God. But for people who don't go to church, who don't know him at all, do they know that he stands at the door and knocks? That he wants to come in? That he brings them back to the Father? That he forgives their sin? It made me think of these verses from John chapter 1, and that's what I'll be reading from this morning. John began his gospel this way. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 2, "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that's been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." As Jesus came to the earth as Emmanuel, God came to tabernacle among his people. It was the bringing of light. During devotions last night, Cooper brought up the story of Moses seeing God. Then he had to wear a veil. I'm trying to remember what Cooper said. He got the word wrong. It wasn't a veil, but he said he had to wear a cloak or something like that. He wore a cloak over his face. He was shining. He encountered God. He encountered light. I don't even know how it connected to last night's devotion story, but it was just this idea that when you encounter God, Moses was shining. He encountered light. Now, this wasn't a stranger to them. John is describing Jesus coming as the very creator, the eternal one, the true light in a world of darkness. This wasn't a stranger claiming to be their king. This was their very maker, the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was. A sun to rule the day and a moon to rule the night. He spoke those words at creation. This is Jesus. John goes on to say in chapter 1, verse 9, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." So what does that mean, that the true light was coming? It makes me wonder, what was the false light? What were the things that people were following and pursuing that weren't the true light? Were people trying to find their purpose and meaning and hope in things that weren't Jesus? If so, then he's combating the very things that they've built their lives around. The things that they find their joy in. Bob was talking about the candle of joy. There's lots of people who don't follow Jesus who would claim that they experience joy. Is it the joy that we talk about, or is it something different? True joy had come. The true light of the world had come. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. So he wasn't a distant God. He wasn't hidden and removed from them. He came into their presence, and yet they didn't know him. Think about how God in the Old Testament appeared to his people, came crashing down on a mountain in lightning and thunder, and then dwelt in a tent in the middle of their camp. He structured the whole camp for him to be their center. That way he could not be hidden from them. He was a pillar of fire, so he'd even be seen during the night. He never disappeared. All these ways for him to make himself visible. And Jesus, following that pattern, he comes into the world to be with the people. That's okay. And they didn't know him. The world didn't know him. Verse 11 says he came to his own people. His own people did not receive him. His own people. He wasn't a stranger to them. He wasn't some far-off God to them. These were his. He stands at the door and knocks. Could you imagine this Christmas if you had family coming over and they stood at the door and they knocked? Knocked, your family. And you looked out the window and there's some relatives. And you decided, you know what? I don't think I'm going to open the door for them. Who are they? Who do they think they are knocking on our door? Could you imagine? And then all of a sudden they text you or call you, open the door, we're standing out here. Like, we would laugh at that. Of course we would recognize our own family standing in front of the house. And John is saying the king, their king, came to his own people. Yet they didn't receive him. That's how ridiculous it is that they would not follow this king. These were his children. These were his chosen people. Yet they didn't receive him. But verse 12 is the Christmas story in so many ways. If you're going to go tell someone about Jesus this Christmas, tell them about John chapter 1, verse 12. John says this, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He's going to go on to say, not children born of the flesh, not born of the will of man, not made by a husband and a wife, children born of God. So his own people wouldn't open the door. He stood there and knocked, but to everyone else, they became adopted into the royal family. John is writing this years later. The church at this point has spread to different countries, different continents. There's Jewish people, Gentile people, people from all over the world who've now chosen to put their trust in Jesus. They chose to believe in him, receive him, and he gave them the right to become children of God. See, Christmas is often about us celebrating the child who came in the manger. But this story goes both directions. It's because of God coming to earth, because of his death on the cross, that we become children. We are the children of Christmas, received into a brand new family. A family we don't deserve to be in, that we're privileged to be a part of. That he would draw us by his Holy Spirit and transform our hearts, something we can't do on our own, and to make us part of his family. That's the Christmas story. God came back. God extended his hand to us And then God brought us back. So here's my meditation to you as you reflect on how to live this out this Christmas. Tell people the story of Christmas. Friends and family, co-workers, if they're willing to listen, if you get an opportunity to tell them. And if you say to me, Darren, I don't know how to tell them this. I don't know how to bring this up. How do I talk about this? I would say that the Lord sent his one and only Son into the world that everyone who would believe in him wouldn't die but would have everlasting life. God came back to bring us home. And now he stands at the door and he knocks. He invites us to come with him. He invites us to trust him and follow him, to repent of our sin. He's knocking at the door. He wants to be with us. He wants us to know him. And to each one of us who believes, we have the right to become children of God. Christmas is about the baby that came in the manger, but it's about us being welcomed back as newly adopted children. That's why there's hope. That's why there's peace. That's why there's joy, and that's why there's love. I want to close with these lines from the Christmas concert. Jesus was born on the first Christmas day. A gift from the Father, he planned it that way. And every dear person who hears and believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And all folks have sinned, have gone their own way. But God listens closely when we choose to pray and choose to love Jesus, who came down to earth to live and to die and to give us new birth. Let's pray together, then we'll worship the Lord through singing a few more songs. Heavenly Father, we, Lord Jesus, humble ourselves before you, the creator of heaven and earth. You are the Word in the beginning, the one who always was. You are the one who said, "Let there be light," and light appeared. You are perfection. You are holiness. You are awe and wonder. You are so high up above us, so perfect in your sinlessness, and yet you chose to come down to dwell amongst the sinners, to extend your hand and to lead us home. Like prodigal sons covered in the mud, you welcomed us back into the family with a feast. Father, we thank you. In humility, we thank you. None of us will ever deserve to be welcomed back into the home, into this adopted family of being children of God. So we thank you. We deserve to be covered in mud. We deserve to be sent away. We took the beautiful gift that you gave us and we spoiled it with our sin. How could you do this to us? How could you come and welcome us home? What kind of sacrificial love without condition would that be? We sin all the time, and yet you welcome us home. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you knew that going to the cross would be the only thing that would cover our sin, that would pay the price and the penalty that was due to us. Thank you, Jesus, for your humble submission to go through this human life, to come as a baby, grow up into a man, and then to sacrificially give your own life in my place, in the place of my kids, in the place of each one of us. So, Father, this next month of celebrating Christmas, Holy Spirit, would you give us opportunities to tell this story to those who will listen? May they hear the story of being adopted into your family. of hope and peace and joy and love? And would they hear the story of the cross, their forgiveness, a pardon to all who believe? We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us for these last two songs.